This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading, just going back a couple of verses before what we heard, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that when we suffer unjustly, we may walk in the footsteps of Christ Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. So today's text from St. Peter deals with unjust suffering, especially unjust suffering when there's no easy remedy at hand. Let's think of an everyday example. Let's say you're driving and someone maliciously cuts you off in the traffic. They make you brake, they fluster you, you can see they did it deliberately, and yet what remedy is there? You can't do much about it, perhaps. Toot your horn, make an abusive hand signal, yell at them, or maybe do nothing. Our dignity feels affronted when someone treats us this way. It's an everyday occurrence. There's an injustice that's happened. No easy remedy at hand. Let's think of a more significant example of suffering, unjust suffering that happens in our world that we know about. Think about cyberbullying on social media. Let's say someone is attacked on their Facebook page because they're perceived to be not good-looking enough, or perhaps too good-looking, or maybe they're perceived to be stupid or maybe too clever. And people perhaps anonymously on their Facebook page or on their social media account say abusive things or use foul language or tell lies about them. Or threaten them, even. Now, the internet's like the Wild West in many ways, and there's no sheriff around. There's unjust suffering. What's someone meant to do? What's the right response to that? You know, responding to unjust suffering is a bit of a minefield. You can take a bad step, and there are disastrous consequences. Let's say, for example, someone experiences cyberbullying, and their response is to internalize it. They listen to what people write. They meditate on it. They start to conclude, indeed, that they themselves are worthless, useless. They withdraw. They become depressed. And God save us, even we know in our world some people take their own lives. It's a bad step to take, a bad response to unjust suffering. We know it happens. We know our own temptations. God preserve us. Other people may respond differently, take a different step. I'd say also a misstep. People swear at them on their social media account. They use foul language back. People abuse them. They give back abuse. People threaten them. Well, they threaten back. But does this build up the human community? Does this bring love into the world? Harmony? Is this attractive? What are we meant to do? When our dignity as human beings is affronted, when we suffer unjustly, how can we respond in a way that is not bad, that does not have disastrous consequences? How can we respond in a way that brings God's love into this world? Well, the beauty of God's word is that it shows us a right way to respond, that upholds us in our human dignity, but does more than that. It gives us the freedom to walk through the minefield of unjust suffering, to walk through that minefield in the steps of Christ Jesus himself, to walk through safely. More than this, God's word brings us to Christ himself, the one who bore our sins unjustly, the one who took unjust suffering on himself to reconcile us to the Father. To reconcile us to one another, to give us an experience of God's love, so that the fruits of the Spirit, including love, may be seen in the life of the church. Let's listen to today's text. Here's how it starts. I'm going back a couple of verses to give the direct context. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh, Slaves, it says here. The word for slaves here is domestic, household slaves primarily. Slaves are people with relatively little power, little redress when they suffer injustice. People who can't do much if they have a crook boss. What does St. Peter say they should do? They should treat their masters, he says, with all deference. Determine in themselves to work, in other words, in a well-ordered way in the household in which they find themselves. Determine to work as household slaves in a way that will build their household up, no matter what the master is like. This is not about winning over the master. It's about living as a dignified human being in an undignified situation. It's about standing up straight and behaving in a way that brings human approval from God, God's approval of human behaviour, in a difficult circumstance. This is how St. Peter puts it. For it is to your credit if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. It's to your credit if, being aware of God, if acting in good conscience before God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. Philosophy can sometimes help us out in thinking about God's word. The philosopher Plato, in his dialogue Gorgias, talks about unjust suffering. And he makes the argument there that it's better to suffer evil than to do it. When I was teaching RE in schools back in Bendigo, I'd allude to this teaching sometimes and talk to the kids about it. I asked the kids in different classes, "Kids, would you rather have your house broken into and your property is stolen? Or would you rather have your parents thieve from other people and take their property back to your house?" And these kids would simply say, all of them, by the way, they would rather have their own possessions stolen than to have their household based on theft. They would rather suffer evil than do it. And I think when we think about it coolly and rationally, we can come to this conclusion. But of course, we're not dealing today with reason or philosophy only. We're dealing with revelation from God's word. This is what St. Peter says. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, where's the credit in that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. God is not blind. God sees injustice. God is not deaf. God hears injustice. God is not absent or indifferent. God is present and at hand to help. God sees what is going on. And when you suffer injustice and do so patiently, you have the approval of the Heavenly Father. Now the teaching gets more confronting. Listen to what St. Peter goes on to say. For to this you have been called, to bear unjust suffering in a godly manner. You've been called to this, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. God has called us together here in this Bethlehem congregation to deal wisely with unjust suffering, to do so in a godly manner. This teaching is not just St. Peter's. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after all, says, take up your cross and follow me. Suffering, and indeed unjust suffering, is a key part of Christian life. St. Paul also has this same sort of teaching in Philippians 2. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And he emptied himself, took on the form of a slave, and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Through the minefield of responding to injustice, St. Peter says, we walk in the footsteps of Christ himself. And what this means, he spells out as the text continues. St. Peter writes, Jesus committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. We know that Jesus was sinned against grossly, that people lied about him, struck him, spat on him, flogged him, crucified him. He was sinned against grossly, and yet he did not himself sin. We know that when people told lies, he did not revert to lies himself to fight back, but always spoke what was true. The text also says, when Jesus was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He did not go on the offence with abuse when he was abused, a natural human temptation that we all know about. He did not threaten others when he was threatened by them, but he did take justice seriously. He entrusted himself to God, who sees, who hears, who deals justly with human sin. Note, by the way, that this response of our Lord Jesus did not lead to worldly glory. Jesus, in responding this way, did not become a worldly king, but was crowned with thorns and enthroned on a cross, and he went into the darkness of death. If we think that this teaching will give us worldly glory, we are mistaken. It does not give us worldly glory, but it does bring us home to God, and it does have the approval of our Father in heaven. But here's where the text becomes especially confronting. Listen to these words. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Sometimes when we suffer injustice, we can start to think of ourselves simply as innocent victims, having a purity that comes from innocence. I have suffered injustice. I am innocent. Those out there are wicked and evil and deserve destruction. Those who are like me are the righteous. The others are the wicked. God will smite them and approve of me. When we start thinking this way, we can fall into a very dark, deadly trap. Because the line between good and evil is not simply out there, but runs through the middle of every human heart. This text reminds us that we, even when we suffer innocently, have all been complicit in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us here have put an innocent man to death. It's our sins that put Jesus on the cross. We were in the crowd that day when Jesus was crucified. We need to take this teaching, which is the heart of today's text, seriously as you think about responding to injustice. We can name injustice for what it is. We can follow in Christ's footsteps, and we are wise to do so when we ourselves suffer injustice. And rather than be tempted to think that we are innocent and pure only, to remember that it's our sin that put Jesus on the cross. Was Jesus' death the end of the story, though? We know that through the cross, God shows what his justice can do. Because the cross was not the end, it's the resurrection and exaltation of Christ that shows us how God's justice works. This is how the text concludes. For you were going astray like sheep, all of you, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Jesus, the one who suffered innocently, atoned for sins and brought us together back to the Father. We have our Lord Jesus as the shepherd, the pastor, the guardian, the bishop of our souls. This helps us to respond, therefore, wisely to injustice. We can name it for what it is and retain our human dignity. Whether someone cuts us off in traffic, or someone abuses us on Facebook, or does something more serious in the workplace or in our families, we don't need to respond with foul language. We don't need to respond with abuse or threats. We don't need to internalize it and become depressed or withdrawn or suicidal. These are all bad responses, missteps through the minefield of dealing with injustice. Instead, we can walk in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. He did not respond in this way, but with dignity entrusted himself to God, who deals justly. More than this, we can see in Christ our own complicity in injustice, understanding that we ourselves need forgiveness. But we can see what God brings out of injustice. Look at this cross. What did God bring through the cross of Christ? He brought redemption from sin. He brought reconciliation with the Father. He brought resurrection to new life. That's what God did through Christ. That's what God did through our sin, through our injustice. Let's therefore make our focus Christ Jesus, and God's power revealed in him, and God's righteousness revealed in him. Let's retain our human dignity in this way, stand up straight in this world, not with pride, but with due humility, being able to name injustice, and where we are called also to combat it, but most of all to understand in humility our own need for forgiveness, and therefore to share the reconciling love of God with all people. Well, may God through Christ Jesus give us this sort of wisdom, so that when we suffer injustice, which will happen, which we are called to, so that when we suffer injustice, we may do so with the wisdom that God gives us through his Spirit-filled word, that God gives us through Christ Jesus, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection for us.